Well, I guess this here is episode 68 of the Breakdown Walls podcast. What do you think?
Well, I don't really know, but I do know that I don't have a sound clip this week. So.
Well, dang it. Well, I expect quality from my co-host, and I am not seeing quality right now. So I tell you what.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm very sorry.
Okay. This is... Look.
But if you're a listener, you already knew that.
Look, you guys don't need sound clips because we are sound clips ourselves.
We are sound clips.
We are sound clips. Welcome to the Breakdown Walls podcast. I'm Renegal. He's Sterlock. And it's a big week. It's a big week in video games for a couple of different reasons. And we're going to talk about all of those reasons, all couple of them. Nevertheless, they are big. So we're going to talk about them on this episode of the Breakdown Walls podcast. Keep in mind, folks, this is actually our second to last show of the year.
Yep.
Of the year. Yeah, we have a 2-week break at the end of every year, which I mean, we only had 1 year before this, but still, it's something we decided back then. So we'll talk about that a little bit more, too, because there will be some discussion of plans for next week's episode as far as that goes.
Astute listeners will probably know what they are already because of this.
Yes.
We have talked about them.
We have. We have indeed. And I'm looking forward to it. I actually have an idea of how I'm going to go about it.
Nice.
It's gonna be good. We're gonna have a good time. Anyway, this is gonna be a standard episode. We have some gaming news. We have some news. We have some accessibility news. We may have some interrupting cats. It's a possibility. You never know. You never know, Ref.
Meow.
The breakdown. Meow. Meow.
Interrupting cats. Meow.
Frickin' meow. Yep. You never know around the Breakdown Walls podcast what might happen. So yeah, that's an intro. We did that thing. Let's do the next thing, which is gaming.
Oh, my voice. There.
Welcome to gaming news.
There we go.
That was better. In fact, you'll be interested to know that the tail end of the last recording was just you going, "Ooh, my voice cracked."
Yeah,
I was cracking up after the recording and stuff. I was like, "Yeah, that's perfect," because it's gonna cut from that to the little interlude. Ooh, my voice cracked.
Oh man,
that
great.
God, it's so good. It's so good. Gaming news, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to it. Today we're going to talk about a couple cool things. Well, you'll see. So the first thing, a topic that practically needs no introduction, we're going to talk about Cyberpunk 2077.
Woo!
It is a woo, but it's also a woo. This game is out. Well, it's out tomorrow technically, but the embargoes are up today. The embargo on streaming the game went up, so cool, right?
Nice.
Totally cool. But there's some stuff that needs to be addressed here. Some of it good, some of it bad. First, let's just speak in general terms. The game is typically reviewing pretty well. Its Metacritic score is pretty high. But one thing that might surprise you, it is not the 300-hour monolith that people were thinking it might be because CD Projekt Red made it.
Yeah.
It is not that. Not that it's short, but comparatively, like, it's not short, but it's comparatively short.
When you compare it to The Witcher.
Right, right.
Which is insane.
Yeah, yeah. What I heard was someone who... So one of the weird things that CD Projekt Red did is they gave reviewers a very, very tight deadline. Embargoes for reviews went up on reviews went up on Monday. They gave reviewers the codes last Tuesday for an RPG.
Yeah, that explains that explains a review that happened.
Ah, you're thinking of a specific one. I don't know which one you're thinking of, but what I heard
one
was,
the one that a certain YouTuber bragged on.
Oh, right, okay. So what I heard was someone who basically decided, okay, I need to get this game done. I have 6 days to do it.
Yeah.
Decided to basically mainline the story and do very little side quests. And that person took about 28 hours to finish the game.
Wow.
So mainlining the story, 28 hours.
Wow. That
is yeah, not... I know. I know. Now, they said there is a lot of side content, and they missed a lot of side content.
Yeah.
I believe the GameSpot reviewer didn't have more time, but apparently just invested more of her time. She got 50 hours total out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Like, that's typical RPG length. It's kind of...
Yeah, pretty good.
Minimum expected for a full-scale RPG. So I'd say if because realistically, if you're playing this, when you're playing this as a human being, you know, as a non-reviewer, no one else plays it on the deadline except reviewers, you know.
Right.
So other people that are playing it are not going to mainline the story because they're going to hopefully people that like the game are going to let themselves be intrigued by the world, by the ways side quests work. Like, you can just get a random phone call that says, "Hey, man, I need your help," like from one of your friends, and it could lead to a side quest line, you know.
Yeah.
Apparently it works like that. So it's very, like, side quests are very attractive. I can't see realistically just your average gamer mainlining the story and only doing that.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine. 28 hours with basically zero side content is still a pretty lengthy story on its own merit.
Yeah.
But yeah, you throw in the side content, which apparently there's a whole bunch of, and you extend it a great deal. So that's nice. Cool. But yeah, mostly it's reviewing well. People are saying the story is really interesting. Some people are saying it is a little shallow in its characterization, which I guess leads to our next thing, our next point about Cyberpunk, which is unfortunately that it is being perceived as not very good at portraying diversity properly in multiple ways. I heard one reviewer say that there is a group of Mexican folks in the game that use improper Spanish terminology.
Well,
so there's that.
You know what, though? I actually have a defense for that.
Sure, okay. It's the future, maybe?
Future slang changes, you know, like,
yeah, terminology can change. Right. That's yeah. True. That's true. And that is the difficult thing too. Like, everyone, and then reviewers to average gamers, you're right, Sir Locke, but that's the difficult thing. Everyone's going to look at it through the 2020 lens.
Yeah.
But you can't help that because this, especially this year, because it's been a year.
It's, so 2020 has sure been a year. Oof.
So it's hard to not look at it through that lens and see the, you know, there's been a lot of negative stuff, but there's been, you know, positive change too this year. And it's hard not to see all this stuff through that lens of all those things and put those like project them onto this game and be like, well, how is this game doing everything wrong or right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to do that, but I've seen that, but I've also seen the biggest thing is, apparently, Cyberpunk 2077 is utterly infuriating to the trans community.
Really?
Which, yeah.
That's a shame.
I don't know necessarily that I'm qualified to give you the full details as of why that is. But the understanding that I currently have, and believe me when I say we always encourage feedback, please feel free to tell me if I'm wrong about this or correct it. It's all good.
Yeah.
The understanding that I have is that gender in the game is perceived as typically very fluid.
Mm.
But it doesn't play that way, if that makes any sense. Like, you can encounter a character model that might be this is a little crude, but one person talked about how there is a prevalence of dildos that drop when you defeat enemies.
What?
Yes.
Okay. I mean,
so
I have no problem with those on principle, but
no, but like the point they were making, I think, is it's kind of like it's trying too hard.
Yeah.
In that sense, but in another sense, okay, I did think of another reason too that I think the trans community is very unhappy about this. So one of the good things Cyberpunk did was allow you to choose a body type, regardless of like there's no when you play Cyberpunk, you don't choose a gender.
Yeah.
You just choose a body type, and you actually choose your sexual equipment as well.
Yes.
But Sturlock, you do not choose your pronouns.
Really?
This is one of the things I'm pretty sure is one of the hot points. Your pronouns are determined by which voice you choose.
Oh, yep. I understand why the trans community is pissed off. Nope, yep. I totally get it, because dysphoria is a real, real thing. Yep.
Right. So, like, it's the illusion of non-binarity when they're only really offering you a binary choice.
Yep.
And I'm going to bring this up. I've already gone into crude territory, so I'm going to bring this up, because this is actually something that I've heard people talk about as well. And this is a real thing. I'm not laughing at the thing, just to be clear. I'm not laughing at the thing, but it amuses me that the developers of Cyberpunk 2077 would go so far to make one thing a reality and not do anything with the other. So let me get to it. Again, a little bit crude here, but here you go. When in Cyberpunk 2077, one of the many things you can do during character creation is create your junk.
Uh-huh.
You can, let me put it a different way. If you have masculine parts, you can choose the size of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can also choose the type. There are like three or four different types, like different shapes. But if you opt for female reproductive parts, there is only one. And it seems like,
yeah, see, that's not right.
Right. Like if you're going to do one thing, do it all the way, you know, do both of those things.
Yeah.
Even a combination. Hey, what the heck, you know? Yeah. This is Cyberpunk 2077. Who cares?
Yeah.
Do a combination thing.
Go crazy.
Know? Go nuts. But no, they on top of all that, a reviewer has also said that it doesn't actually matter. A reviewer
it just doesn't matter.
A reviewer specifically like went kind of hard on the game to see the sex scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see if it mattered, and it totally doesn't.
Wow.
Like, you choose it, and then you never get to see it.
So it's totally an ego thing. That's so dumb.
It's literally they put it in the game to to be edgy, essentially.
That's so dumb.
Like, look, you get to choose this. No other game does this. Ha ha ha.
That is pretty cringe. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it's pretty cringe.
Woof.
So, a lot of issues there.
I'd be okay with that if it
actually mattered.
Bearing on things with the actual game, but if it doesn't actually impact anything, like,
yeah, and remember, your pronouns are determined by your voice. People just know them immediately, and they're because you have that voice. So,
yeah. See, no, that's I'm not trans, and I even take issue with that. Having trans friends that like have voice things going on, and they get gender assumed,
yep,
very regularly, and this like, no, don't.
I actually took issue with this too. In another game that does the same thing, but it's not getting called out for it because it's not as blatant about how obviously inaccurate it's portraying trans people.
Yeah.
Another game that did the same thing though recently, I hate to say it, but it's true, is Immortals Fenyx Rising.
Really?
Yeah. Immortals Fenyx Rising allows you to, it does not give you a gender choice. Again, just like Cyberpunk gives you a body type choice. You choose mm-hmm. that, and Immortals Fenyx Rising does not let you create your junk, but it does attach your pronouns to your voice, just like this does. I don't understand it, because like,
why not just give pronouns its own free menu option?
Why isn't there just a pronoun choice? Why isn't there just a pronoun choice?
Yeah. Just have it be its own separate menu option. It would take 2 seconds to code it, I promise.
Yeah, because all it would do is, like, you know, there's just a variable that during dialogue call
that,
you know,
flag pronoun.
If pronoun equals this, then refer to as he or she, or, you know.
Or they.
Make a they pronoun, first of all. They don't have a they.
Really? Because I only, know, like, only... several people. I know several people that prefer they, them.
I know. So do I.
And you do, too.
I do, yeah. And they do not have... That's not... It's determined by your voice, and there's only two voice options. Yeah. They done messed up.
Yeah.
Now... The only thing I'll give them, the only credit I'll give them here is, at the very least, I don't know if you remember this, Sterlock, but there actually was an article about this during their coverage a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So when they were first developing Cyberpunk, it just flat out had the gender option. Yeah. Are you male or female?
I remember that.
So at the very least, I guess it's good that they're considering it to a certain extent. Like, you know, does that make any sense? Like, at least
what I think is happening here is they are trying to appeal to this demographic without actually consulting people of that those demographics.
Right.
I think that's what's happening here, and it kind of shows.
Yeah, and apparently, by the way,
they're just making assumptions, and it's not good. Don't make assumptions.
Right. Yeah, don't do that. Apparently, there's only one actively trans character in the game that identifies as trans, and according to reviewers, they have little to no impact on the story. They're very short, like they're not long for the story.
Ah,
so yeah, it's pretty disappointing. And
that's why I liked Lev so much, because he was so pivotal to the story.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And the thing is, the unfortunate thing is, that's how, especially the one that caught my attention for this was GameSpot's review, which mentioned that, and also mentioned that's kind of prevalent throughout the story. Any moment where there's a diverse group, the diversity is not explored in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
There's a group of Haitian, there's a gang of Haitian people that are called the Voodoo Boys. But in the lore, the tabletop lore of Cyberpunk 2020, which is what this is based on, the Voodoo Boys are used to be a bunch of white men who just called themselves the Voodoo Boys. And so that gang was apparently inherited in the 50 years since 2020, you know, 2020, 2077, 57 years, was inherited by the Haitian people. And the GameSpot reviewer said, you can ask them about this. But they only say, we're the Voodoo Boys, and we refuse to tell you what we call ourselves. And that's the end of it. That's the end of the whole, like, there's no...
That's dumb.
There's no additional
Explore
lore
that.
Right.
Come on.
Right. And that seems to be...
You could make some interesting lore there.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, because one of the things that they'll say is that the world is full of lore, but none of it explores, like, those angles.
Yeah.
The diversity
which you
of
would expect
the,
it to
right because Night City is a hub, like a haven of culture, like culture everywhere, every culture mixing together, and it's never explored. There's even like Asian stereotypes in the game that are really kind of disturbing, like the stereotype of this is the one the GameSpot person mentioned again, stereotype of an Asian person going to an Asian food stand in a cutscene, getting something from the Asian food stand, and eating it and saying, "Oh, this sucks," in like an Asian accent, like an overpronounced Asian accent. And then, yeah. So
I thought we moved past this shit in the 90s. I'm not just
Yeah, so Cyberpunk is pushing some buttons.
Yeah, I can see why.
You know, that said, apparently the story is decent for what it is. And the world is huge, and there's a lot to explore, and there's a lot of characters there, and there's a lot, you know, like, in some ways, it is the game that people wanted.
Yeah.
But it's unfortunate that this is also a reality of the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of unfortunate realities, let's move on to the next Cyberpunk bit of news. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are, or have ever been, or think you might be, epileptic, Cyberpunk is going to be a pass for you, at least for now.
I don't know how this still happens in 2020, like current year.
I don't know
year.
How this gets past QA.
Like, there's like standards and practices that you have to follow now. Like, how do you do this now?
It's,
I don't understand.
It's
this.
A huge mess. I will explain, but it's a huge mess.
That's just what the heck.
So there's a certain thing in Cyberpunk 2077 called the Brain Dance, which the mechanic itself is quite cool. I actually really like it. It's like the tuned up version of the Batman Arkham games, and they're you know how Batman did this like crime analysis thing where you could see a crime happen and could rewind and fast forward through it and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tuned up version of that, where you can see something happen in, you know, like you can watch a memory play out. And then you can focus on points of the memory and scan different things. You can go to the audio layer and scan conversations that were off in the distance that you couldn't hear otherwise. You can look at scan people's computers from the memory itself. It's really cool. Like the mechanic itself is really neat. However, the Brain Dance device, which is what gets you into the mechanic, when you start a Brain Dance, basically causes a very particular, this is the crazy part. It's not just like something that's close to it. No. A very particular sequence of light flashes, specifically the exact sequence of light flashes that doctors use to induce seizures on purpose in epileptic patients.
To test if they're susceptible.
To test susceptibility to epilepsy. The specific exact
How do you get away with that? How do you not only how do you get away with that, how do you not know? I don't understand this.
Here's the worst part, in my opinion. There is a warning about this. Guess where it is?
Huh.
It's in the ULA. You know, the thing you see at the beginning of the game and
no one ever reads. How about, tweaking the thing so it doesn't cause the fucking flashing lights in the first place?
Right, that is literally a visual effect. You can fix that.
It doesn't need to be there.
It literally doesn't need to be there at all. Come up with something else. Make it blur out.
Holy crap.
Just do a blur out effect. You're going into someone else's memory. That's enough. You don't need flashing lights. Just do a blur out effect. So, yeah. Cyberpunk.
Okay, Alex from Retro Pals, I know you're not listening, but don't play Cyberpunk because trigger your... Yeah, he's got I don't know if he's epileptic, but he is photosensitive at least. So
yeah.
He's got issues with flashing lights.
I was reading up on this when the article came out, and I noticed I read that in some people it just causes pain.
Mm-hmm.
And then others it just causes full out seizures. So
yeah.
Yeah, be very careful, people. The article that I read about this says that if you have ever been like watching a movie or a TV show or playing a video game or any kind of taking in any kind of media and notice that when a bunch of lights are flashing, if you've ever noticed that like it hurts a little bit when you're watching that, then stay away from Cyberpunk for now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I read. So
I don't understand how you just are that unaware and just, like, that this was going to be a problem that people were going to pick up on. Like, I mean, I'm sure this will get patched. But this shouldn't have been a problem in the first place.
Yeah, it's going to be patched, apparently. According to CG Project Red, they've said, oh, we're sorry about this, guys.
Why was it ever in the fucking first place?
We're working on a new warning, separate from the one that's already in the ULA. Like, they said it like they were flaunting the fact that there was already a warning
about
it.
Don't give a warning. Take out the fucking sequence to begin with.
Well, no. They're going to do both things.
They're going to do both? Okay.
Yeah, they said they're going to work on a new warning, but then they're also going to... This thing has been moved to the front line of what they're going to do in patches. Okay.
Good.
Going forward. Which, that's good, but...
That is good, but it never should have...
Place.
No, that's ridiculous.
This game has already caused seizures. Like, it's already happened.
Like, legit? People have actually literally had seizures?
Yes. There was a person that was sharing publicly. In fact, I think it was the person that wrote the original article. Was otherwise... And this is kind of sad, because it's dedication, but it's really unfortunate dedication. But basically they're saying they loved the game otherwise, and they're so determined to play it that they're going to keep on playing it in spite of the fact that it caused them a real-life grand mal seizure.
Wow. I don't know that I would be that...
I don't know if I would either, but I also don't know enough about epilepsy. Like, if this person, whenever they knew... Because it's specifically the brain dance activation. So if they close their eyes...
Okay, so you can just look away.
Or look away. Does that work? Like, I don't know how epilepsy works, personally. Like, can you just close your eyes and it doesn't happen?
I feel like, yeah, if you know it's coming specifically, you can just, like, turn and, like, face
the other way,
direction.
Yeah.
You're probably fine.
Press whatever button you press to activate the brain dance thing, turn away for a second. You know?
Yeah, but just, I don't understand how it even got to this
point. It shouldn't
point
have. It really shouldn't have. It's crazy that it did.
How do you not, like...
And to think they thought a ULA warning would be enough.
It's not like it's, you know, 1997, 1998 anymore, and we just don't know this stuff. This is readily available information.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that are, like, very standard practices to follow when you're using flashing lights. Like, what's the proper sequence to avoid causing issues with epileptic people?
Yeah, like, I found out there's even web guidelines on this, like web accessibility guidelines on careful use of flashing lights.
Yeah,
that's how prevalent it should be at this point.
I mean, Pokemon kind of brought all that out into the forefront and was kind of maybe not solely responsible, but it definitely helped the process along of, like,
yeah, that one episode.
Yep. The banned episode.
Hundreds of children. Hundreds of children.
Yep.
Oh. But, yes, Cyberpunk.
How does this happen in 2020?
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Especially with...
Even in 2013.
Yeah.
When the game first was, like, this stuff was still common, like, readily available to find.
Yeah.
Info on this never should have been a thing.
Yeah, it never should have gotten
this
far.
Blows my mind,
especially to be the exact sequence that doctors would use to go that far with it. Like,
that
how do you not know?
I can't get over that one.
How do you not know?
Literally the exact sequence. Yeah, how do you not know? I don't.
so yeah. Basically, summary of Cyberpunk 2077, folks,
is God.
There's a good game in there somewhere, I think.
But it's got issues.
You got to be aware of every single one of these potential, not only just, like, scary health points, but also the trigger points, too. Like,
yeah.
There could be some cultural stuff that you might not like. There could be some gender-related things you might not like. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go into Cyberpunk, that's fine. I'm not...
Just be aware of what you're getting yourself.
Be very aware of what you're getting into. Read up on it. And again, if you have any feedback on the way that I've put this, I've done my very best to try to put it as best that I can. But if anyone has any feedback on how I've put this and the information that I've given out, and if anyone feels that I'm incorrect, or if anyone feels that I'm right, I mean, whatever you like, I want to make sure we do the best by our listeners. So do let me know. do let me know. I would appreciate it. Yeah, so Cyberpunk. I'm not on the boycott bandwagon.
No, neither would I.
I understand those that are. I respect those that are. I would say though, the more important thing is to focus on correction.
Yeah.
Absolutely tell CD Projekt Red all the things they did wrong. 100% do that. But
be polite about it.
Right. Be polite about it. Be as polite as you can be about it. And then if some people want to play the game, then let them play the game. Just I feel like everyone should know what they're getting into with it. But I'm not personally on the boycott thing.
Nah.
Some people are. I've seen a couple things. But you know, let them do that if they want to.
It's current year internet. That's just people love to be angry.
Yeah.
About anything.
Boycotts.
It's just what we are.
Boycotts right tend now. Not to work anyway. So
no, they really don't.
But that's Cyberpunk, yo. Cyberpunk. Let's move on. Let's move forward from Cyberpunk, and on to cats. Apparently,
Angry Bob.
Anna's going after him. Being Anna. Let's move on to more Game Awards hype. The Game Awards is tomorrow, people.
Ooh.
Tomorrow.
On my birthday.
On your birthday. On your birthday. It's going to be. I think it's going to be a really good show. We have some cool announcements that are Game Awards related. The first one is there's going to be 12 to 15 new games premiered at the Game Awards.
Whoa.
We're looking forward to that. Yep. Okay. Yep. I always do like Game Awards for the premieres.
Injustice 3?
Injustice 3? Mm-hmm. That would be a good time for it, wouldn't it? Be a pretty good time for it. Yep. Let's see. There's going to be a bunch of presenters that'll be presenting, including both Nolan North and Troy Baker.
Hey.
As presenters. And Jacksepticeye, a well-known gaming YouTuber, is going to present as well. And Wonder Woman herself, Gal Gadot, or Gadot? Which one is it?
I think it's Gadot.
I thought it was Gadot. I hope it's Gadot. I think it's Gadot. But she's also presenting at the Game Awards. And there's going to be some musical performances, which there always is. But the big headliner that they've mentioned for musical performances, apparently they got Eddie Vedder to do a one-time...
What?
A one-time return. At the Game Awards, yeah.
Brought him out of the retirement home.
Yeah. Yeah, they said they got him.
All right.
It's a real thing, man.
What a random get.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff Keighley, he's got all the power in the world, apparently.
Friggin' Clarissa Explains It All much. I don't know if you probably don't even know what I'm talking about.
I used to watch the show, but I may not get the exact reference.
There, so that was the first instance I ever recall hearing about the band Pearl Jam.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was, at the time, I thought it was a totally made up.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Band. I didn't think it was a real band back then. Yeah.
I used to like that show for the dumbest reason, because
it was a good show.
The thing I liked most about the show is, not even kidding, I liked
the amazing games
that she would make. Yes. I liked the audio of the little games that she made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the silliest thing, but I watched that show for those.
Yeah.
I'm not even kidding. It's crazy.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah. Because they I don't know, it sounded good. Like, it sounded like it could be an actual thing. They did a good job on those. Anyway, back to the Game Awards. Hey, I'm going to tangent that one. Clarissa Explains It All, everyone. All right. Back to the Game Awards.
This is how our brains work.
Yep, that's expect more of this. a bunch of awards. You know, Last of Us 2, Hades up for a lot of awards. 13 Sentinels also up for best writing. I'm really proud of that. We talked about that last week.
Deservedly so.
Talked about that last week a little bit, and I'm really genuinely excited for that. Also, I didn't mention this last week, and the only reason I didn't mention it is because it was already too late by then. But I guess I'll mention it now. So. There's an award. It's not a single award. It is a collective award, I guess. It is the Future Class, the Game Awards Future Class 2020. It's the inaugural future class. It's the first time they've ever done this particular thing, where they want to celebrate people that have moved the medium of video games forward. That kind of thing, you know? Like, people that have helped the industry in significant ways.
Yeah.
Listeners out there, I've thrown my hat in the ring on this one. And I did so very, very nervously. Because, like, that's just how I am, though. Like, I'm like, my initial tweet about this is like, okay. It's really hard to write this tweet, but because I don't like to presume things, like, I don't like to presume my own worthiness or ask people for things either. So, like, like, this is really hard to write, but I feel like maybe I might deserve to be a part of this. So if you'd like to nominate me, here's how you do it. So,
yep.
Some folks did, which is really amazing. I think I tried to count the ones that... The thing is, I don't know how many did. There could be plenty of folks out there that didn't tell me that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to count what I could. And I think I counted something like 13 or 14 nominations. That nice. People that actually told me they did it.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, that's mind blowing. Like, it might not sound like a lot, but it does to me. Like, you know, because I asked people to do it, and people had to, like, it takes effort to nominate for this. You have mm-hmm. to go to the site, fill out a form, explain why you want to nominate the person, provide their email address, and provide a photo of the person mm-hmm. you want to nominate.
Yeah.
So people spent their time, took their time, wrote something nice about me in a form, like, at least 14 people, and nominated me. So one of the reasons I'm excited for the Game Awards is because I get to find out if maybe, just maybe, I might have made it.
I hope so.
The announcement today, we got another announcement today from Jeff Keighley about that. And he said the inaugural future class will contain 50 people, which, again, might sound like a lot to you, but it's really not.
No.
It's really not, because that's like anyone. Like, Jeff Keighley publicly tweeted out, if you think someone is worthy of this, nominate them.
Yeah.
That's like millions of people all over the world are going to, you know, probably saw that tweet. Millions. Yeah. So to narrow that down to 50... You know, I'm not saying everyone nominated someone. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm sure a lot of people nominated someone. So to narrow that down to 50 is a lot.
There's a decent pool. There's probably a decent pool to select from.
Right, right. So, you know, I'm hopeful. Yeah. I mean, it'd be a nice capper on my year.
Yeah.
And really, not even just that. Like, it would be a nice cap on the year, but it'd also be just a nice, just an honor for me personally, if that happens. So,
mm-hmm.
so I one of the reasons I'm watching the Game Awards is to see that too. And folks, let's not forget the Game Awards is audio described.
Yeah.
Audio described. Apparently the audio description for the Game Awards is being managed by Descriptive Video Works, which is doing a lot of stuff lately. They're the ones that have handled the Ubisoft trailers and such. All the audio described Ubisoft trailers have been through them. They've been doing a lot more Netflix audio description as well, stuff like that. So, you know, mm-hmm. they're definitely a competent audio description company. Let's see what they can do with the Game Awards. Oh, they did the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade this year, and I watched
that. Ah, that was them too. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I watched that audio described, and it was really well done. Really well done. I was very pleasantly surprised at how well done it was. And there was even some funny moments, because it was live audio description. So there's actually funny moments in the description, which is great. It was a part of the show for me, because, like, there's one standout moment in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade where she was the describer was talking about one of the musical artists. I can't remember which one it was. One of the musical artists, like, says, she turns and waves to the crowd. A pause. Correction. There are no crowds. There are no crowds today. It's like, so like the person probably waved to the, like the general audience where the audience would have been if there were crowds, but you know, COVID, so there was no actual crowd at the parade.
Yeah.
So it's just like, one of those little moments. Like, I understand it was a mistake, but it's just one of those things. Like it that was part of the show to me.
Yeah.
Because that just wouldn't happen if it wasn't live.
Yep.
So, you know, I respect it. And I wish them luck at the Game Awards. Now, I will admit that if they... I do hope the audio describer for the Game Awards has played video games before.
Sega!
Look, I don't have a problem with the guy personally, but it would be really cool if a live audio describer knew their games. You know, yes. I'm just saying. I hope there's no Seagaw in the Game Awards 2020.
I make fun of that, but you know, it was.
It's innocent. He doesn't know. He just doesn't know. It's fine.
Yeah.
He's not like, haha, take that, gamers.
Yeah.
Seagaw. Oh boy, good times. Game Awards tomorrow. If you want to know the time, it is 6:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So
nice.
That is the pre-show, by the way. The Game Awards technically start at 7, but the pre-show is at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. I would recommend watching the pre-show. I don't know if the pre-show is going to be audio described, but I recommend it because one of the things that's going to be in the pre-show that's been announced is Devolver Digital has a bit during the pre-show. And if you've ever watched Devolver Digital's content before, they are nuts. Like, in the best way. They're super hilarious. Their whole thing is marketing games with personality and humor. Mm-hmm. Because they are a publisher, but they're basically an indie game publisher. So they work on a lot of projects, but a lot of small projects.
Yeah.
So their approach to marketing games is to kind of take the utilize the internet the best way it can be utilized. Make a video that people will remember because it was funny, or you know, because it like, you know, basically because it was funny. Like, they use comedy a lot.
Yeah.
Nice. So they have a bit during the pre-show. So I would recommend watching that. I can't guarantee the pre-show is going to be how to describe, but I would still recommend watching the pre-show. Game Awards hype. Game Awards hype. Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. Man, there's so much. This has been quite a week for me personally, for a bunch of reasons I can't even talk about. We have a show to do. I think that is all I have for gaming news. Unless there's anything you wanted to mention, Sterloctron. You wanted to go back to Cyberpunk, right? Because you wanted to mention a particular review, I think.
I didn't plan on talking about it.
It's up to you. It's up to you. It's all. It's you're part of the show too.
I just wanted to just, man, quartering.
The quartering.
I lost. It's been a gradual thing, over 5-6 months, for me.
Yeah, for me it was very
hard to
sudden.
See the shift.
Yeah.
See.
For me it was very sudden because one thing. Kind of was the connecting block, if that makes any sense. So like, I used to follow the quartering. I actually, it's so weird how crazy it is that like, to realize that someone is a certain way. Because like, I'm actually ashamed of that now. I used to follow the quartering because it seemed like when I first found the quartering, it seemed like he was producing videos for the right reasons. It seemed like he was being a kind of soldier for the people who couldn't speak for themselves or didn't have the platform that he had, which is why I followed him.
He used to do a lot more of these things back in the day of like, hey, this person needs our help. Let's help a dude out.
Right, right. Exactly.
Hey, this person is having issues with like pet things. Let's help him out.
Yeah.
Hey, this person is abusing pets. Let's save the animals, basically.
Yeah,
stuff like that. Like, that's why, like, oh, you know, this is a cool guy. Like,
yep,
it was stuff like that. That was, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He used to be a bit of a soldier. And he every once in a while still does things like that, but it's much fewer and far further between now.
Yeah, because he has a different calling now. So what got me finally was when I started noticing that every time he called someone out, he would take a sarcastic tone.
Yeah.
And say, now, guys, I definitely don't want you to totally go off on this person and harass them. I definitely don't want you to do that. And at first I thought he was really joking. But then I realized what he was actually doing, which is he's absolutely mobilizing his fans to go harass people. So
you know what did it for me was it was like a couple months ago at this point. He and another YouTuber that I used to follow, namely Review Tech USA.
Yep, don't follow him anymore either.
Yeah. I would be curious if it's for the same reason, but they got into like a really childish Twitter beef.
Oh boy. Those
and
two.
Like
Review Tech's pretty childish anyway.
He is. Like well, it's funny because like he likes to Review Tech likes to go up on this high horse of like, oh, I'm so much more mature now than I used to be, and mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. 2 days later he'll do something immature and stupid.
Yeah.
And take the bait on something.
Yep.
Or watching them fight was just like, this is the stupidest thing I think I've ever seen. And it's from like two people that I actually used to like.
Yeah.
And it sucks. That's like, no, I have to unsubscribe from both of you because this is stupid.
This is just nonsense. Yeah. And their people will just eat it up, eat it right up.
Yeah, drama channels are a real thing.
Yeah, this stuff works. It's sad, but it works.
Keemstar has like 2 million subscribers, and I can't stand Keemstar. Actually, he might have more than that. I think he might have like 4 or 5 million.
Yeah.
But I can't stand Keemstar.
Yep.
The people love him. I think he's a terrible human being, to be frankly honest. I think he's a garbage person. But I don't usually say that a lot about a lot of people. But
yeah. Yeah, sad times, man.
Cornering. I've kind of started. I said, it was a gradual shift. I kind of started observing behaviors and just like, I don't like this. This is a
not so positive a guy.
Yeah.
Yep. Definitely not the one I want in the corner of accessibility. And yeah, at one time I actually tried. By the way, like. I actually emailed him way back during the Sekiro debate because I really believed it. And this is the sad part. I really believe that he was the guy because of the size of his platform. I believe that he might just be the guy to have the conversation with about accessibility, like to have an honest accessibility conversation with. He ignored me. And that was, I think, probably my first indicator of the fact that he didn't really care, that he just wanted to do it for the views and stuff.
Yeah.
And then you know, I realized his tone was totally sarcastic every time, and that he wanted to mobilize his fans against people. So that's
not yeah, that. Yep,
yeah.
And then you, this will be very brief, but in the realm of YouTubers, you had a disagreement with a YouTuber that you like. And you still like him.
No. Me and Steve are still cool.
Oh, I wasn't talking about Steve.
I thought you were talking about Steve. Okay.
Yeah, that happened too.
Yeah.
But
we disagreed too.
I was talking about TSP.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, Phil and I are fine. It's pretty well established. Like I did reach a point this week, this past week, where I had to say something, because his hate of The Last of Us 2 is so strong.
He has a pretty massive hate boner for The Last of Us 2.
the way I describe this in Misty is
that, as 18 says in DBZ Bridge, I don't know, that is a pretty hateful boner.
Yeah, exactly. The way I describe it to Misty is his impressions of Last of Us 2 are warped. Yeah. They are heavily warped, and they're warped by a lot of things. He claimed not to be influenced by like all the negative hype before the game comes out, and then he demonstrated that he absolutely was influenced by that.
Yeah, no, like everything, he basically parroted everything that the internet was saying.
I also watched a significant portion of his playthrough because I wanted to give it a chance. I wanted to, because
it's so cringe.
I'm okay.
His playthrough is so cringe.
Yeah, okay, but I'm okay with criticism. And I will, okay, full disclosure, I will absolutely admit that when the game first came out, I got super defensive super easily. Because
that was kind of your baby by proxy.
Yeah, it's something that I worked on, and yeah, I got super defensive super easy. That said, now I've gotten better about that now, and I can deal with some people criticizing the game now much better than I could back when it first came out. But so that's one thing. But when I witnessed him in the playthrough starting to listen to his trolls, like some trolls came in and started saying some crap about Neil, like just to make Neil seem like a bad person. And he just eats it up in the playthrough, like, oh, this is what I needed. Like, and suddenly Neil's a terrible human being now.
Fresh bullshit.
Right. But the thing is, Phil's the reason I say warped is because Phil's genuinely not usually like that.
No.
But in this case, he was willing to take all the negativity he heard and be like, oh, yep. Yep, that's true. And that's true too. And, yeah. Oh, yeah. So his hatred for that game is huge and massive, and you can't get rid of it, and it's warped.
Oh.
And I've accepted that. There came a point this week where I had to say something because it was getting ridiculous. So I did say something, and we argued for a bit. But the whole time we were arguing, like, I wasn't really trying to change him per se. I was just trying to get him to stop for now.
Yeah.
I was just trying to talk him down for the moment. I was like,
dude, slow your roll.
Just come on, man. Yeah. And like, so we both Phil and I have acknowledged there's no way that either of us are going to change each other's minds. Like, he knows why I love the game. And he knows that I even like the writing. I've made him aware of that. He hates the writing. And I know he does.
I liked the writing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've had that discussion.
Yeah. We've had that discussion.
Have it again next week.
We are. We definitely, let's part of the discussion next week. So he knows this. You know, and it is what it is. And you know, that's so we're cool. We even said, we ended the conversation by saying, you know, you can have a disagreement with someone and still respect them and still like them. So it's perfectly fine. So we're totally, yeah, there was a disagreement there. But yeah, it's fine. And so with Steve, same thing too. I even told Steve, you know, we're allowed to disagree. It's fine. So yeah, all is well in my neck of the woods. Speaking of next week, I did forget to mention this because this is going to be part of. I looked at the Game Awards thing, and I just got to talking about that. But that actually brings us to next week. So my plan for next week is to do two things. Because the Game Awards itself is a year-end celebration of gaming, I think the best way to do next week's show is to break it into, instead of the gaming news and accessibility news, we break the show into the Game Awards discussion, what happened at the Game Awards, and then our year-end review.
Yep.
We go back through the year, talk about 2020 and all the gaming things that happened in it, and have a good time with it.
Yep.
So that's going to be our next week's show. We're going to go over the Game Awards results, talk about the games that won, the games that lost, the games that almost won, the games that should have won. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Accessibility Award. We're going to talk about the Future Class thing, all that stuff.
Yep.
I'm going to try to do a rundown, a write-up of the show as it goes. So I should have a pretty complete write-up when the Game Awards is over with. All right. Yep. So that's the plan for next week. And that, I think that about does it for gaming news.
Baby Blue is actually bigger than we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the top, like, not many topics, but the topics ended up being...
They're big topics. They're big topics. Yeah. It's the end of the year. Cyberpunk is a huge game. Yeah, definitely big topics. So, now, though, we're going to move right along to... Accessibility! Welcome to Accessibility News. Today in Accessibility News, we're going to make good on the thing we said we were going to do last week.
Yep.
And I'm going to talk about Madden 21.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 5 accessibility impressions of Madden 21, ladies and gentlemen. I got a lot to say about this. The good news is that it is definitely better. Play calling is a thing now. We can do that now. Yep. Bad news about that is now I have to actually learn what the crap this stuff means.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know what any of it means.
The thing is, this is absolutely something I wanted, and I think it's something that is essential to the accessibility of the game. Absolutely, positively. Now that it's here, I need to actually learn to utilize it properly.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I don't know what any of these words mean. What's a cover six? What does that actually mean? What's a inside zone? I don't know. I don't know my football well enough.
I don't either.
But the good news is it works. That's in. The even better news, in my opinion, the even more affecting fix that they did.
This is a good one, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
The button prompts.
Yeah.
The button prompts are great.
They read, and it's glorious, and it makes me happy.
They read all the button prompts that come up even mid-play, read to you. And for some reason, this one thing still works in the story mode, even though the play calling doesn't. Figure that one out.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah,
that works, I mean.
Yeah, sure. But they read all the button prompts that come up. So when you throw a ball, you know what button to press to try to catch the ball. You know what button to press during the run to juke and jive and avoid tackles and stuff like that. All those prompts are read to you. It even reads the R2 prompt that they just mean, basically it just means either, I think it means two things actually. I think they use R2 both for breaking someone's hold on you and sprinting away.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like to me. So
there's so many more vibrations now that I don't know what they freaking mean.
Yeah. There's a lot of haptic feedback. A lot of haptic feedback.
And I wish it was documented properly. Hint, hint.
Yeah. I wish it was too, because it is very different. If you go with a PS5 version of Madden 21 expecting the haptic feedback from Madden 20, you are going to be very, very confused.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the differences I think are good. I think pretty much they're all good. But the problem is there's no documentation to really tell us what each one
of
them is.
No frame of reference.
Yeah, there's no frame of reference. Nothing to help us figure out what it all is.
Yeah.
So, for instance, one of the really great things is you can now feel the run of your character.
Of your
currently controlled player.
I think that's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, it's really great. It helps in a lot of situations. It helps during the quarterback's drop back, so you can actually tell when they're all the way back. To throw the pass. It helps during interceptions, because if you hear the sound of ball being caught and you feel that too, but if you hear that followed by the sound of a run and you're on defense, or it starts followed by the feeling of a run and you're on defense, you immediately know the ball's been intercepted by you.
Yep.
There's no question whatsoever. I was able to call out on stream that I intercepted the ball before the commentary did.
Yeah.
Because you know very quickly that you did it. Get feedback. Oh, the kick meter has changed completely when it comes to force feedback.
I like the new kick meter.
The field goal kick meter, specifically the field goal kick, is what I'm thinking of here.
Oh, okay.
I should have clarified that. Field goal kicking has changed completely. Instead of just giving you the strong vibration that you have to get rid of, so like in Madden, in the PS4 version of Madden 21 and the previous games. The way field goals work for the blind is you got a really strong vibration and you move the thumbstick around until it was gone.
Yep.
That's how it worked before. It doesn't work like that now. Now you have a pulse, much like the Spider-Man collectibles pulse. And that is yeah, it's like that. You move the thumbstick around until that's in the center, and then it goes away when it's in the center. So like, but the way it helps you is it does tell you basically which way to move it. It does basically because you can feel the pulse on either side of the controller depending on which way you move the thumbstick.
That's a really, really good use of accessible haptic feedback.
Yeah, yeah. It's really good, and it works really well. I haven't missed a field goal yet.
Nice. Yeah, remember you used to miss those all the time. Oh, no, I have to kick a field goal.
Yeah, I used to hate it. I used to hate kicking field goals. I even, one time, I think the last one I did on stream, I was like, oh, I'm going to miss this. And then I didn't. And I was like, what? Like, I fully expected to miss that. How did I not miss that?
Yeah.
Because I think I technically missed the accuracy part of the kick. Like I didn't get it right on the button there.
Yeah.
So I was sure that was going to make it miss, and it still went through.
Nice.
So I can't complain.
Yep.
So that's different. The kick meter, the non field goal kick meter is also different though. It's a little less. It's a little it's more subtle, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
The vibrations are smaller, but they never really needed to be big. I kind of wish it was done differently because you can do so much with that haptic feedback. I kind of wish it was kind of a vibration that wound upwards because now you can do a lot with that haptic feedback. You can do multiple frequencies and everything. You could do something that literally built not just in strength, but in like frequency, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish it was like that to show how fast the meter was moving. I wish they had utilized that fully, but they didn't. It's just a tap when you start, a tap in the middle, and a tap at the end.
Yeah.
To tell you when to press the button, basically. Let's see. So now we get to the haptic feedback that I don't quite understand.
Yeah.
So there's this is why we want documentation on this. Because I can only speculate, and that's a problem. when you're on defense, there's haptic feedback that you feel, and it can happen in the middle, the left, or the right of your controller.
Yep.
And it can mean, like, I don't exactly know what it means, but basically what happens is you feel a jolt of haptic feedback, but it has a trailing effect at the end.
Yeah.
It, like, it's not a rumble exactly. Like, well,
I don't know.
That, kind of that, but also it's like the same effect they use when the DualSense is trying to create wind in other games.
Yeah.
And so for the longest time, I thought that was the throw feedback.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Because no. I've noticed that because you can, with 3D audio, you can hear the throw a lot better, which I like, by the way. But it doesn't, this feedback does not happen at the same time as that. So as much as I would think, given the way it trails off, the way it kind of feels like the way it does wind and on the DualSense, I thought it was the throw. It's not that. And I don't really know what it is. Huh. My current going theory is it has something to do with the right stick movements you can make in the Madden games now. So like the right stick has a lot of functionality depending on what you're doing. It's like context sensitive functionality. If you're trying to make a tackle, it makes a tackle in the direction you flick it, I guess. Some stuff like that. I don't know exactly how it works because it's like something we've never had to use before.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is the game's way of trying to get us to do that stuff. Because it can happen in the middle, it can happen on the left or the right of your controller. So maybe it's different positions you're supposed to move the thumbstick to. But I don't know. Yeah. And that's I don't like that. I don't know.
Yeah, the not knowing is like, eh.
Just tell me, game. Tell me. I figured out everything else, but that I don't know. I also don't know why I have noticed that the run. So I really like that you can feel the run now, which is great. But have you noticed? Well, I don't know. Do you have the game yet? I don't remember.
I do. I actually.
You bit the bullet.
I bit the bullet.
Okay.
I couldn't use it.
So, did you notice then that? Another thing, I didn't really bother about this too much on stream, but it did not escape my notice. I just didn't really do anything about it and say anything about it. Did you notice that the run feedback changes after a second or two?
Hmm.
So you can always feel the run, but at first it's just tap left, tap left, tap right mm-hmm. for a little while. Then it's little rumble left, little rumble right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that's significant too. Like,
I wonder, maybe that signifies that you're getting, this is on offense or defense?
This is on offense.
Maybe that signifies how closer you're getting to the end zone.
Well, I don't think so, because it happens with quarterbacks too.
Oh.
So what I was thinking was either it's signifying the closeness of defenders, or for quarterbacks, maybe it's signifying the optimum time to throw a pass if you're dropping back.
Oh.
I don't know, though. I really don't know. Like, that, all that could be wrong.
Yeah, this is why we need documentation.
Definitely would like some documentation on that. Hey, Karen. I know you're busy being the accessibility lead of all of EA now, but Karen.
I am so glad she got that.
I am too. I am 100%. But man, we need that documentation.
We do need documentation, yeah.
We need it.
We need it. We need it.
I can also report, unfortunately, I messed around with this a little bit off stream because I wanted to get ready for the show and I wasn't going to play Madden on stream until the show happened. So, unfortunately, one thing that did not happen in the Madden 21 accessibility changes / fixes / whatever you want to call it, objectives during Ultimate Team.
Yep.
Not red at all.
Not red at all, but I feel like the OCR for them is better.
Oh, I haven't tried OCR because I can't.
Oh, right. You can't.
That's good, though. That's good.
Also, an annoying thing I've noticed is it seems like you don't properly get told what your rewards are that you're getting. I don't know.
Huh.
I feel like that's a thing that's happening.
I don't know. You could be right. I haven't gotten any rewards yet because when I tried Ultimate Team real quick, I actually accidentally... So I didn't realize that it had saved my Ultimate Team from the trial.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the first campaign again, so I got nothing for it.
Ah.
So so I kind of wasted my time on that part.
Mm-hmm.
But so actually, I didn't notice that. I didn't notice any problems with rewards, but that's unfortunate if true.
Maybe I'm just not getting, I don't know. It's not clear if I'm getting rewards or not, but
yeah, that makes me sad because Ultimate Team worked better in the previous game.
Yeah.
So, that makes me sad, but I think the thing about it is you kind of have to take, the good versus the bad, and the good with Madden 21 for PS5 outweighs the bad by a significant margin.
I feel like Madden 22 is going to be an all-around improvement.
Yeah. I feel that again. And I will also admit that's a scary feeling to have because it's the same feeling that drove us towards 21.
Yeah.
You know, like I wrote in my Steam review of Madden 21.
Yeah, we threw a lot of shade at 21 before the PS5 launched.
Yeah. And I wrote in my scathing review of 21 that 20 our hype for 21 was entirely based on hope. Yep. From 20. So it's scary to feel that again, but I do kind of feel it because no longer is the issue a memory issue. No longer it is a technical, you know, we technically can't handle it problem.
Yeah.
So all issues with accessibility and narration are theoretically now resolvable.
Now, EA, please
do it.
Please. Well, that too, but
just do it.
Please. And make your other sports franchises inherit this level of access.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
We want it all.
My friend Liam has been chomping at the bit for accessible NHL for years because like hockey's his thing. Like he's a hockey fan.
Big hockey fan, yep. Yepers. Yep, EA, do your thing. We know you can do it. We've seen Madden. Yep. And Madden 20 so It's interesting, though, to be in this position, though, isn't it? Like, Madden 21, the reason, one of the biggest reasons I called it out was because Ultimate Team was worse than Madden 20.
Yeah.
But it's funny to be in this position because that is still true.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the improvements that have been made are so significant that I have to be happy with Madden 21's overall progress.
Yep.
I have to be. Even though my biggest call out is still a problem, I have to be happy with it.
Because the improvements outweigh the negatives it's pretty significant.
Yeah. Also, can I just say, like, it's not accessibility related, but can I just say, I love the next gen stats thing.
Have
you experienced this yet?
I have not experienced this yet.
Dude. It's a thing that is exclusive to next gen. It does not happen on previous gen versions of the game. I don't know why, because it doesn't seem like it'd be difficult, but anyway, whatever. Now, when you're playing Madden, occasionally something will happen where your play will be more than just a replay after the play's over. Mm-hmm. They'll analyze the play with next gen stats, which is a real thing that the NFL is doing now.
Mm-hmm.
They'll analyze the play with next gen stats to reflect on how and why the play happened the way it did based on the players that were involved in it, you know, stuff like that.
Oh.
And the commentary covers the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. They have specialized commentary for next-gen stats specifically, and it's only on next-gen consoles, PS5 and Series X.
See, comparatively, I've done very little so far in Madden 21.
Yeah, yeah. But, you'll see it. When you do, you'll be like, oh, this is neat.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like, dude, it happened once on my stream. So there was one time. I think you might have missed it, though. I think you were like away at the time. But they're like, they talked about it in detail. Like, our next gen stats are showing us that the guy that caught the ball, I can't remember his name, caught the ball at this yard marker and ran 20 miles per hour to get to the end zone. Stuff like that. Wow. Stuff like crazy stuff. Next gen stats, bro.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's a deep analysis of the play, and I really like it.
That's really cool.
I want to see that happen more. I just want more of that.
Yeah.
It was really neat when it happened. It has its own sound effect and everything, like a little computer sound effect, like it's like doing the calculator. Next gen stats.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's neat. And also, them loading times. What?
Loading times. What?
I don't know what those are.
Don't exist anymore.
What do those words mean?
I don't know.
And you know what? Ultimate Team may not have improved in terms of accessibility, but good lord, is it easy to jump into challenges now and jump in and out of challenges now?
Oh god, remember when it used to take like 30 seconds?
You'd have to load each one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's just like click. Second later, welcome to Madden Ultimate Team Challenge. Blah, blah, blah.
It's me. Look out.
Look out. Not telling you a darn thing.
Yeah.
Now let's go to Brendan Gunn, who also won't tell you much.
Thanks, coach.
Yes, that's right. We're not telling them a gosh darn thing as we head to this Madden Ultimate Challenge.
And Peyton Barber.
Peyton Barber. He is a god.
I loved that. That became a meme last
I know.
Year. That was so good.
It was
good.
The meme of the... It was
that
the,
was so oh, good.
We got to do... Now that I'm playing Madden again, now that Madden is back...
That was so good.
We got to do another franchise mode to see if we can make that happen again.
We have another football god.
Yes, another football god.
That was so
and
good.
Who will it be?
Peyton Barber. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay. Madden 21, you have improved and we're happy about it. Good on you, Madden. Good on you.
Yep.
Next thing, really news, is an audio game that is currently being Kickstarter funded called Scarlet Shells.
Yes, I have already thrown money at this thing. It is I pledged, and I'm looking forward to this thing.
So have you tried the demo?
Yes.
First of all, I have also pledged. I'm also going to back the game.
I've not beaten it yet. I have played it. It's Actually,
Anna has played it.
Anna has played it too.
Yeah. Anna apparently
has played it though. It's actually a challenge. It's good.
It is a challenge.
I don't know how to pick up items though for some reason. I hit enter on where an item is and it's not picking it up and I don't know why.
Yeah, because I think I know why. Especially if you're on the first level. The items you were hitting enter on are probably above you, and there's not really a good indicator for that.
Oh, okay. That's what's going on.
If you go into the object navigation, it says the horizontal and the vertical axis, and they are on vertical axis 25.
Ah.
So, yeah. And I know how to get up there, too. I just died trying to do it, which is the thing that can happen. There's fall damage in this game, chat. Chat. Yep. Oh, my God.
Chat.
I do this all the time, though. All the time.
Then this is not the first time this happened.
Streamer mentality. Yeah, so there's fall damage in this game. There's momentum in this game. So, like, running jumps matter. I like a lot of the ideas behind it.
I like that you could hear the distance that you're traveling as you're jumping.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a thing that's ever been done in an audio game before that I actually really, really...
Has it not?
Like, not really. Because you can hear...
No, not even in BK, no.
Nope.
No, I think you're right.
Nope. You could hear it based on the sounds around
you. The panning, right.
And the panning, but like...
this you can hear individual tiles.
You can actively
tiles.
Hear how fast you're moving in the air.
You yeah,
can
you're hear hearing the air tiles.
And I like it.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I'm still a little iffy on the game itself. I'm going to be honest with you.
The combat is kind of... It needs work.
It does. The README file isn't very well written, so it totally confused me as far as the combat goes and how combos work and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the writing of the story also doesn't work.
It's way too... I skipped it. It's too long-winded for me.
It needs a lot of work.
And this is coming from someone that likes visual novels. So that's
right. Yeah.
It rambles way too much for its own good.
Yeah. So, but I still back the game because I do like the ideas behind it, and I like.
And the audio design is good.
The audio design is great. Yeah, audio design is fantastic. It's a good beat 'em up audio design.
Yeah.
And that's good. I just, you know, I want to see this game improve, and I hope I hope they don't just finish this and call that done.
I
hope they're willing to improve on it.
Yeah, I don't like the way the meter thing builds either. That's the other thing I don't care for.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like this. That is completely antithetical to me to everything that I've ever been taught in a beat 'em up is just to like sit still and
yeah, that feels weird.
It feels wrong.
Like these attacks are just going to hit you a bunch. You can't do anything about it, but you have to wait to build your meter. So you gotta wait at least half a second before you hit them back.
Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
That feels weird.
I wish they would like use like multiple buttons for attacking and just let you build meter that way for using cool combos.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be more effective.
Yeah, I think one button attacks.
I don't like that it's a space bar, I'm sorry, but no.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. That's what I'm saying. Like I like some of the ideas, but I'm like a little bit iffy on the game.
Yeah. Like conceptually this is great and that's why I'm backing this, because like yeah, I want to see this.
I want to see this be great.
Yeah, but it needs work.
Yeah, it definitely
and they,
does.
And I think they themselves even acknowledge, like, yeah, this isn't, things are going to change, this, but we want to know your feedback. And
very much a
very
pre-alpha,
much, yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you know, it's cool. It's Scarlet Shells. It's a beat-em-up.
For what is right now in its current form, it's good.
Yeah, I think it's a good
what it probably will end up being. Like, yeah, it's
yeah, I agree with that. It's a good start. It's a good start for selling the game to potential backers.
Yeah,
as long as you know that it's only the beginning and that it's going to be worked on.
Yep.
So, yeah. So Scarlet Shells on Kickstarter right now. You can play the demo from their Kickstarter page. There's a link to the download. The demo is the first three areas of the game, and there you go. Scarlet Shells. It's a beat-em-up. If you like beat-em-ups, check it out.
Yep. out.
maybe consider backing it. That I will say consider backing it because, you know, support this stuff. But they actually have already reached their goal.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, they reached their goal. In fact, when I backed it,
they were already up to like 300 something.
Dude, when I backed it, they were already over their goal. Like, I backed it after they already reached their goal. It's up to 1,700. Last time I checked, 1,700.
Nice.
Of 1,500.
Good. So, perfect.
Yeah, so good for them. Good for them.
And they still got, it ends on Christmas Day.
Yep.
So.
What a day. What a day to end it.
Happy Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. So let's take some of your money. No, I'm just kidding. I no regrets. I'm happy. I backed it. I'm happy I backed it.
I am too.
All right. So that's that. I do want to address one more thing that I didn't write in the outline because I thought of it a little bit too late. I thought maybe we should cover this too late. But I want to bring it up because we only briefly talked about this person in terms of disagreements earlier. But you know what? There's a really big positive around them, and I want to bring it up. Ladies and gentlemen, because it's good for everyone. It's good for the whole community. So here we go. Steve Saylor, bro. Steve Saylor. Well-known accessibility advocate, fellow blind gamer, legally blind, but he calls himself the blind gamer. Blind Gamer Steve is what he's known by, so it's fine. We'll let it go. Has been on this show, BT Dubs.
Yes.
Steve Saylor. Steve Saylor got to be a part of something really cool. And this isn't just cool for him. It's cool for the whole blind community as far as I'm concerned. Because it's kind of like somewhat the acknowledgement that we've been waiting for in a way. It remains to be seen what they'll do with this acknowledgement having done this. But nevertheless, I think it's good for all of us. So Steve Saylor got to be a part of the Xbox Play Your Dreams campaign. I think it's what it's called, right?
That sounds right. Yeah, something like that.
I'm gonna feel terrible if I got that wrong.
I think that's right. That sounds right.
Okay, so Xbox
I know Dreams
related campaign.
Yes.
I would feel awful now. Oh boy. So Xbox's Dreams campaign, the whole big marketing thing, which has been the marketing campaign for the entire Series X and Series S and stuff like that. Steve Saylor got to be a part of it because what they're doing now is they're actually taking it literally and making it part of their marketing. So they're basically taking real dreams that people have had about video games and they're turning them into productions that are like to market the Play Your Dreams idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool. I actually really like what they're doing with it. Steve's dream in particular, of course, because Steve being basically mostly blind, Steve's dream that they created was actually created in such a way that the blind could totally appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Saylor's dream was created by Xbox and Bungie. Yeah, Bungie worked on it.
Wow.
Yeah, it was created in 3D audio.
And oh, so cool.
So his dream was about him being like inside the game of Destiny. Mm-hmm. Like his dream was about him being on Europa first, you know, big snowy climate, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then him being with his fire team and then these creatures coming after them. And you can actually, they did the 3D audio really super well. So you can hear the creatures like running behind them and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And like the roars of the creatures. And then he turns around. He's like, I can use stasis to stop them. And he uses the stasis. And this is how you know Bungie worked on it. Because when he uses stasis in the dream, it's literally the sound from Destiny
2. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, nice. They really made this thing. Them and Microsoft really made this thing. It's really cool. The 3D audio is super well done. And I don't know. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I really doubt that Destiny 2 sounds that good on the actual Xbox Series X.
No, probably not.
Because it's really well done. 3D audio is really good in that video.
Yeah.
And Xbox Series X does claim 3D audio, but they do it using Dolby Atmos, which personally I don't like Dolby Atmos. I don't think it's very good. That's mm-hmm. just me, though. That's just me. That's my opinion. But anyway, it's really well done. And the thing that I'm getting at here is not really about the video itself. The fact the video itself is really cool. I recommend you guys go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But it's not really about the video. It's the fact that they involved a blind gamer. Yes, I know Steve's legally blind, but still. A blind gamer in a huge marketing campaign. Like, yeah. The other people in this campaign, like one example, I don't know everyone that's in it, but another example that I do know is like Odell Beckham Jr., you know, the world famous soccer player.
Yeah.
Is in this campaign. Oh, and wow. Steve Saylor. Like, you know, wow. Like it's great for the blind and low vision community as a whole, the accessibility community as well as a whole, that this is happening.
That is so, such cool, like, acknowledgement. Like, yep, we hear you. We know you're out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You guys want to play games too. Like,
yep. Yep. And we are playing games, and it's acknowledgement of that too.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing games, and just like everyone else, we're dreaming about them at night. We are gamers. When we go to sleep, we dream about games, man.
I do.
Yep, I do too. I do too. So congratulations, Steve. You did a great job in the video. He actually does some voice acting in the video.
Nice.
And he was given, it sounds to me like he was, I haven't talked to him about it since the video came out. I kind of want to, though, because the impression is that he was given voice direction to act like he's like half asleep the whole time. Because
mm-hmm.
I know Steve. Steve is very high energy.
Yeah.
His natural voice does not sound like what it does in the video, but I think that's intentional. Like, yeah. I think that, like, he's like, I'm here with my fire team. And he does a pretty good job of it too. Like, he kind of sounds like he's walking in a dream, like, which is what you should sound like if I'm like
that. Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool. Just check out the video. All right. But yeah. So congratulations, Steve. And it's just really cool that that's happening. And that's all I have for Billy today. Anything from you, Starlock?
No, I don't think so.
For accessibility?
That's okay. Will.
Okay. All right. So, that's going to do it basically for the show then. Let's do us a little outro thingamabob, and then that'll be the show for this week. Well, I do believe this here has been episode 68 of the Breakdown Wall podcast.
Yep.
Still don't have no voice, no audio clip of any kind. Yeah. I don't know.
Sorry about that. I just wasn't prepared this week.
I'm very sad to hear that. I don't know. I think I'm gonna have to start looking for a new. I'm just kidding.
It was still a good show. You know?
I think it's all right. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's only slightly influenced by the moonshine. You know how it is.
Okay, that was interesting. I don't know if you heard. I don't know if so. There was a voice outside in the hall.
Oh no, I didn't hear that.
Right when you said moonshine, a voice in the hall goes, "Woo!"
That's on the recording.
I hope it is too.
I hope it's there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you heard the woo, know that we did not endorse, nor do we support that particular woo. All right? Not supported by the Breakdown Walls podcast in any way, shape, or form.
So good.
Wow. Thank you all for listening to the show. We really do appreciate it. As I said before during the Cyberpunk segment, if anyone has any feedback on the show today, this week, and my representation of events, please do feel free to give it to me. I want to make sure that I do this right for you guys, and I'm happy, more than happy, to correct mistakes that I make. By the way, we did have one correction. I hate to do this in the outro, but I'm thinking of it now. Oryx, thank you for your correction regarding Pluto TV.
Pluto TV, yep.
Which is actually free and runs their runs ads to pay for itself. Neat. So that's cool. So you can create an account for free and just use to monitor your watch list and stuff like that. So
nice.
There you go. There you go, Orange. I didn't forget about you entirely.
Cool.
So, hope you catch the outro so you can know that I actually did that. So quick recap of what the plan is for next week. We're going to summarize the Game Awards. I am going to do a write-up during the show, so I'm going to do my best to catalog everything that I can. So we're going to go through that, and then we're going to talk about our year-end review, talking about everything that happened in 2020, because 2020 may have been quite a year, but it has been quite a year for video games.
Yes.
So
that's such a weird dichotomy of just, I don't know if that's the right word, but the juxtaposition of what was happening in the rest of the world as opposed to what was going on in the gaming world. It's like,
yeah, it is. It is
polar strange. Opposite. So weird.
It really is. Yeah, it really, really is. But that's going to be next week, guys. Looking forward to it. The last show of the year is about to happen. Season 2 of the Breakdown Walls podcast is about to end. Man.
Crazy. All right.
Well, let's let him go for this week and get to it next week. We will see you guys next week.
Next week.